Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today going to be a mixture of clouds and sun. We'll have a high of about 54 degrees. Temperature-wise, we look into Kenosha, where we find out it is 33 at this hour. It's a little cool out there. 36 in Burlington, 35 Milwaukee, 36 degrees in Racine. The Racine County Board will be voting in 3 weeks on the sale of the Ridgewood Care Center to an Illinois-based company. After a closed session last evening at Eyesgrove, the board's executive committee decided to forward the proposed sale to Altitude Health Services of Evanston to the full board of supervisors, the only supervisor, Bob Miller, who opposes the sale, in voting against it. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave saying that negotiations began with Altitude after the talks had broken off with Villa Healthcare, also of Illinois, the county's first choice, that happening earlier this year.
This time, we kind of did it in reverse because the county board kind of wanted more of a cleaner version and more of a final version, which I think was appropriate. So we went through the list and Altitude stood out, and we were able to negotiate what I think is really good terms, and then bring those terms back to the county board.
Altitude's agreed to buy the facility and the business operation for $10 million plus other considerations, including $750,000 in capital improvements. If the full county board approves the sale at its May 23rd meeting, Delagrave expects it to become finalized in August. According to their website, Altitude's mission is to create state-of-the-art comprehensive clinical facilities that provide a high level of quality caring. The company was established in 2011 as 6 facilities in Illinois, Nebraska, and Arizona. Lutheran Urban Mission Initiative Incorporated, current operator of the Renaissance School at 6150 Taylor Avenue in Mount Pleasant, and a middle school on 30th Avenue in Kenosha, planning to expand for the 2017-18 term using the former Holy Name School building on the campus of St. Richard's Church on Villa Street in Racine. The Kenosha program, with mostly parental choice students, would move to that location, but also add 4K through 3rd grade classes. No changes planned for the Taylor Avenue site. The St. Richard School building most recently housed Family Literacy of Racine. Lutheran Urban Mission Initiative was looking for a more spacious building because of its growing enrollment. Plans for amending the structure of Racine Unified's middle schools proceeding quite well, with what Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion told the Board of Education at their work session was a fairly successful rollout.
It's on Thursday that initial committee, which is about 30 mixture of staff, going to come back together and talk about how things went so far, what did we learn from that. And then we've been working on a really intensive timeline, so we're going to check our work against that timeline. And then each one of those committees that we talked about in the video will actually make their timelines more concrete and began to schedule those meetings.
Part of the next phase of the plan, according to Gallion, includes engaging more stakeholders. School board may get to vote on boundaries, reference this, by late summer or early fall. Dennis Weiser mentioning the buzz in the community, surprisingly positive, on the My School, My Choice plans to amend the middle school structure. They're called clean sweeps, and based on the popularity of last Saturday's event in Burlington, city officials may have to give consideration to holding more than just one because of all the household hazardous waste, appliances, electronics, and medication collected. Public Works Director Jim Burgles said that about 200 more vehicles showed up compared to last year, and a lot of folks paid the $25 fee to get rid of those old tube TVs that nobody wants anymore.
Last year we did not take TVs. This year we did take TVs, the cathode ray tube, and it was $25 a TV to drop off. And we did send out roughly 3 30-yard dumpsters full of $25 TVs. Some people were coming in with 5 on a trailer to unload.
In addition to those dumpsters full of the TVs, he said electronics filled a dumpster and a half, and there was a lot of paint. 550 vehicles through the building to get rid of hazardous waste materials. So many people showed up early that Burgle said that vehicles were backed up to the bypass by 8:30 in the morning. All total, over 760 vehicles showing up at the Burlington DPW facility. On the day that his trial was supposed to begin, that was yesterday, for an attempted murder charge, a man from Racine took a no-contest plea and will be sentenced in July and could get up to 40 years in prison. 23-year-old Conrice Williams, accused of shooting another man multiple times at point-blank range back in October of last year. The victim, according to reports, returning to his apartment after taking out the trash and was confronted by Williams, who police said appeared to be intoxicated and upset over having been evicted. And the robbery last Saturday of the Cousins Sub Shop on Douglas Avenue, in which a gun was discharged, that is under investigation by Caledonia Police. Officers to that location late in the evening, witnesses said a man in his mid-20s, armed with a black semi-automatic pistol and demanded money, put the gun on the floor to gather up the cash to put in his pockets. And when he picked it up, it went off, the bullet striking a soda machine, syrup dispenser box. The man then ran out of the store. Fortunately, nobody got hurt. The gun and other evidence recovered from that location. 7.5 months ago, Racine County Board Supervisor Mark Gleason suffered a stroke. But he told his supervisory colleagues last night at Ice Grove he's not a stroke victim. This is Stroke Awareness Month, and Gleason felt it was a good time to tell his story and to educate his fellow supervisors about strokes and how to prevent them. He got a little emotional as he told the board that he suffered a hemorrhagic brain bleed as opposed to a blocked artery in his brain.
It took me down in less than a minute. I was dizzy, disoriented, unable to speak clearly and going in and out of consciousness. I thought, well, this is it. I'm going to die. Well, I wasn't so. My wife said I was having a stroke. She recognized what it was. She called South Shore Fire Department. In less than 8 minutes, they scooped me up and we're heading to St. Luke's in Milwaukee.
Gleason said he only remembers snippets of the days that followed until his release from the ICU and into rehab. Said he learned that stroke victims often experience unusual changes. Dr. Tom Wolf of the Aurora St. Luke's Stroke Center was there last night. He said early detection and treatment is the key to recovery. The supervisors told that strokes have decreased as a major cause of deaths in this country, but they are still the leading cause of disability. It's going to be several more weeks before the Kenosha City Council tries another vote on the catch-and-release ordinance for feral cats. That issue before the council for a second time this week, and again the alderman had a bunch of questions about it, which would allow for the cats to be trapped, then released after they are vaccinated, neutered, and ear-tipped. Alderman Kevin Matheson, sponsor of the proposal, said it does not start the program. There would still need to be some rules and regulations drafted, said the city should just give it a shot.
The current ordinance on the books prohibits releasing cats for any reason. This ordinance change will allow them if the criteria is made. So if by some reason, you know, we start losing all the songbirds and it's a terrible idea and it's not going well, we can repeal this and we can go a different route.
A 45-day deferral passed on a 9-6 vote. The issue, though, has spilled over into aldermanic comments at the end of the meeting. Mayor John Antaramian admonishing those who spoke and said in the future he would be quick to stop any continued debate during that point in the agenda. The Racine Common Council had to spend time last night on a personal dispute between Alderman Sandy Widener and Mayor John Dickert over her desire to not be reappointed to the Cemetery Commission after 17 years, but which also tied into the Mound Cemetery controversy of a few years ago. Widener informing administration of her desire weeks ago, but her name was still on Tuesday night's list of appointments. She and the mayor then went back and forth with verbal claims and counterclaims about what happened 4 years ago and lost revenue to the city. Alderman Q.A. Shakur said that the council should have been given any documentation, including emails, to vote on the issue of Widener's desire not to be on the cemetery panel.
We're hearing from Your Honor, we're hearing from the alderperson of the 6th, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the fact of the matter is anything that we vote on, we should have it in front of us to review it. We should have had it Friday, Monday, whatever. If this is going to all take place, before we make a decision, we need to have the information. That's the first and foremost thing. But if the alderperson don't want to serve, fine.
Alderman Shakur added that all this other stuff, I wouldn't say it's a waste of time, but I think we could do something different. Council, after almost 15 minutes on the issue, voted to amend the list of mayoral appointees, minus Alderman Widener, to the Cemetery Commission. And take note that Highway 83 at Hill Valley Road in Waterford was closed just after midnight this morning, blocked all lanes in both directions due to a utility emergency, a pole apparently coming down. And between Maple Drive and Hill Valley Drive, everything was blocked off. So there was a detour set up. Well, that's all changed. Everything is reopened. That happening just after 5 o'clock this morning. We Energy's coming in and fixing that utility problem. WRJN.com. That's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.